show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, Philadelphia sports fans. Good afternoon. Great afternoon. One of the best afternoons in years. Here, best show ever on 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia. 610-632-0975 is the number to participate. Let's get right to the opening statement. Let me start with the word of the day. The word of the day is weekend. Because, boy, do I hope you had a good weekend if you're a Philadelphia sports fan. I know you did. And for everybody else that might be watching and listening who aren't a Philadelphia sports fan, I hope you suffered this weekend. I do. I don't feel bad for you. Not one bit I don't feel bad for you. What the Eagles did on Saturday, we're going to talk about the Sixers briefly later on. But what the Sixers and what the Eagles did against the Giants, wow. Wow, 38-7. We're going to play some highlights from the show, from the game throughout the show. Let me tell you something. Now, this is not an I told you so situation because I'm not doing the I told you show. I'm not doing that. But we tried to tell everybody one thing. Forget the Giants for a moment. We said that this team was the real deal, talking about the Eagles. We have to start recognizing when our team is good, and this team is so good. You saw it all around the nation. There were people who had tried to talk themselves into believing that the Giants were good, were as good as the Eagles. There were people, national pundits, that don't know better, who tried to suggest that Daniel Jones was better than Jalen Hurts. There were people out there who really tried to say that the offensive line of the Giants could hold its own against the Eagles' defensive line. And that, oh, man, those fearsome defensive tackles, however will the Eagles run the ball on them? They did everything and anything they wanted. Lane Johnson was able to play the whole game. He came out when they took the starters out. Yes, they were able to take the starters out. This was a prototypical, just a beating this past weekend. And I'm telling you, it feels so good going forward to the NFC Championship game. I'm as happy as maybe I've ever been. This is the best sports weekend in 5 years. The last time things were this good was the last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl 5 years ago. And to score, to win 38-7 again, 5 years to the day after beating the Vikings 38-7. Man, this is incredible, people. This is incredible. So we're going to celebrate today. We're going to talk to E.J. Smith at 4 o'clock from the Inquirer. Jeff Mosher will be in studio later on. But what I want everybody to do is stick your chest out, shoulders back, stand tall. You have an excellent football team. Oh, I've been a fan long enough to know I should be scared. No, we are entering this next phase with no fear. This team is good. I'm not a mind reader. I can't see the future. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I can tell you this. I know my football team is excellent, and I trust my eyes. My quarterback is 15-1 now. My quarterback is 15-1 this year. The dude never loses. Did you see that offensive line? Did you see the offensive weapons? Did you see the run game? The game got so out of hand, that Gainwell got the bulk of the carries. That wasn't in the game plan. Everything's going the way it went. Did you see the downfield blocking? Did you see when Josh Sweat, I know Reddick was wrecking the game, but did you see on the other side Josh Sweat putting their all-pro left tackle into the lap of Daniel Jones? This team checks every single box. We got to start having confidence in us and not worry about anybody else. When a team's this good, there should be no fear. It should just be fun. It should just be feeling great. No more of that Philadelphia stuff. No more of that I've been around long enough. You have not seen a team this good. This is the best Eagles team in Philadelphia sports history. Not just best Eagles team. This is the best team. They have no weaknesses. This team is without weakness. Gannon did a great job. Sirianni did a great job. Steichen did a great job. Even special teams. This is the time for us to celebrate what we have because it's only going to get better from here. And all you Cowboys fans out there, I'd love to hear from you today. Giants fans, some of you, a couple of them from Princeton last week. Daniel Jones is hot. Giants are hot. I would love to hear from you today because if I hear from you when things are going good, I should definitely hear from you when things aren't going so good. This weekend was magical, Hunter Brody. It was magical.
Incredible. This is what we were telling everybody last week. The Eagles are good in every single area. I should say better than the Giants in every single area. And it showed. It got so bad that I watched Josh Job throw a hit stick when the game was in the fourth quarter. And exactly. Josh Job was out there throwing the hit stick. It was insane. And the attention to detail, we already knew that the players were better. Starter versus starter, Eagles significantly better. But then you just saw the attention to detail. A.J. Brown blocking, Dallas Goedert blocking, Isaac Seumalo dragging Kenneth Gainwell an extra yard to get over the line of scrimmage, over the first down marker. Because everyone was just doing everything and then some. It was such a beautiful watch. To start the game, Jalen Hurts is hitting Devontae Smith in stride. You knew in that moment, all right, Jalen Hurts is back and this thing is going to be outstanding. Some big third down throws, you're in the end zone. It's 14-0. Brian Daboll was so desperate that there was a time where on fourth down early, he knew he had to try and go for it, but it made no sense because at the end of the game, he's down big and he's punting. Because he basically waving the white flag. That's how bad and embarrassing it got. That now you have Giants fan wondering, what do we do next? What do we do with Jones? This was such a good season. Was it a good season? I don't know, because we got embarrassed. Sure, we won a game. They don't even know where they're at. And it all happened because of what Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, Steichen, and Gannon were able to do. It was magnificent. And guess what? They're going to do it again on Sunday. We got all week to talk about it. They're going to do it again on Sunday.
Yeah, the best team in football plays right here. There is no doubt about this. I think we were on this bandwagon pretty early in the season that they were one of the top two, maybe top three teams in the league. I look at them right now and everything they do very well. And they do it differently every game. I mean, obviously, you look at Hurts' numbers. They don't look great, but he did exactly what he needed to do. 268 freaking yards rushing. Are you kidding me? I mean, this team could do it all, and they could do it in different, they could hurt you in different ways. I think that's what impresses me the most. One guy who hasn't even been brought up, Hassan Reddick. This guy is the modern day Lawrence Taylor. I mean, this guy is in the backfield every single play, disrupting what the opposing offense wants to do. Daniel Jones, deer in headlights. Can I say that? Because that's the way I felt watching him. And I've thought this throughout the season. You watch him play. When it's a subpar defense, he could have a pretty good game. When you put some pressure on that guy, everything seems to fall apart. So the Giants fans should have an issue with what's going on at quarterback. And the Eagles fans, both their offensive and defensive lines, best in football. And to me, that is everything. It seems like this is really coming to the forefront this year. Maybe it's because the Eagles have both sides and they're all very good. But to put pressure on a quarterback on a constant basis is not easy in the NFL. The Eagles do it every single series. There's no letdown for this team. That's what you should love about this team, is that they are all out there for one goal. And it's not personal goals. There are no personal goals on this team. Just think about what was being said after the game. Be ready. You know what? Look yourself in the mirror. We have two more possible games left. Let's do everything we can to win those games. But first and foremost, the guy I have to give the most credit to is Nick Sirianni. There's no doubt about it. He brought his team in ready to play, prepared to play, went right with his game plan. And it was rushing, but it was a hell of a game plan.
They were able to do so much and get up so easily, and the Giants deferring ended up being their undoing, possibly. That three, they and the Eagles go right down the field. Touchdown. Then they get it back. They don't deliver. Now it's 14, 21, 28. 28-0. The game was so over that.
Can I ask you guys a question? Did you feel like you were watching a scrimmage?
Yeah, I felt scrimmage-like.
I felt that okay, Eagles offense, get out there, run some plays, see what happens. And they were just going through, hot knife through butter through the Giants.
Well, the 21-0 touchdown, they threw the football once to Dallas Goedert. Everything else was just nice plays with running the football. You can look through the whole thing. They just ran, one throw. And now it's 21-0, and the Giants have no business being in the game.
It's incredible. It's just incredible. And today, we're going to get to San Francisco as the week goes on. Today, we're celebrating what went on because we're going to appreciate every moment. We've been talking about this as a theme on the show. Just like with all the seasons, when baseball comes, we're going to pay attention to April, May. We're not just going to try to fast forward to the World Series. With the Sixers, you can't fast forward to the third round. We're better trying to enjoy that 5-0 on the West Coast. And now, of course, the Eagles. Every single step is so important in this whole story. We're not fast forward anything. But I will say this. I'm going to say it again throughout the show. I'm going to say it many times. This is a damn good football team. You are not brave. You are not smarter than anybody. You're not better than anybody by being scared or not being all in or, we were right to have. No, you weren't. You were wrong to be nervous. You were wrong to be nervous. You want to know why? Because this team's good. One day, and this is where the underdog stuff's got to stop. This team's too good. They're not going to be underdogs the rest of the season. That's over. They're not going to be underdogs. They're favored on Sunday. They're going to be favored in the Super Bowl. This is over. There will be no more underdog stuff. We got to get used to being the favorites because we had the best team. And quarterback that's Superman, they're going to be good not just this year, done. They're going to be good for a while. And we're going to have to get used to the actual new normal around here where things are good. And we got to learn how to enjoy it because I refuse to waste my time being worried about what if this happens when my football team presents dominance each and every week. And last thing, just to repeat again, Jalen Hurts is now 15-1 as a starter this year. 15-1 as a starter this year. 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
Best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. We'll be back to the phones in a little while, but on the line right now does a fantastic job covering the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Mr. E.J. Smith. How are you today, E.J.?
I'm doing well, Tyrone. I always appreciate you having me on, man. How's it going?
No, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you. So we knew we were confident on this show unanimously that the Eagles were going to win the game, and we just thought they were the better team. It wasn't this the whole thing where the nation's talking about, you know, the Giants are hot, blah, blah, blah. It was just we just thought the Eagles were better. At the same time, none of us expected to be 38-7. And I saw your picks, Kyle. You picked the Eagles to win, so this isn't a gotcha type of thing. Are you surprised, in hindsight, I'm saying, with the benefit of hindsight and knowing talent versus talent, are you then surprised in hindsight that the Eagles dominated the way that they did?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. You know, you mentioned my picks column. I wrote that I expected the game to be kind of like a knockdown, drag-out, division round type game. You know, when you look at these division, and especially NFC East games, they sort of have a personality to them. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the Eagles just outclassed the Giants. And I think that was something that I knew the Eagles had a stark talent advantage, but we've seen teams with big talent advantages in the playoffs, especially against, you know, teams they've seen before. You know, that margin of victory kind of tightens again in some of those games. You know, I thought of the Bengals Ravens game in the wild card round as an example. You know, even when you expect the outcome. Some of those games, you know, they just take on their own types of personalities. But, no, the Eagles kind of, you know, I wrote this in the Monday newspaper, you know, the Eagles were kind of like a sleeping giant there for a little while. And, you know, we saw them wake up in the division round. So, yeah, it definitely surprised me a little bit. But, you know, I do think that it kind of reaffirms what we kind of expected from this team, you know, maybe before they hit that slow point during the regular season.
Staying on a similar page with expectations, we knew Lane was dealing with something, but there's no way you could have expected 26 pass blocks and zero. There was zeros across the board again. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, they have been, you know, the whole offensive line, you know, Jeff McClain wrote about it, has been dealing with injuries. And, I mean, they're a tough group, and they're an incredibly talented group. I mean, that was one of the, you know, we're talking about things that surprised me. The way that they beat up the Giants' interior defensive line was one of the biggest surprises for me in the entire game. I mean, Dexter Lawrence, he's legitimate. You know, he's legitimately one of the best nose tackles in the NFL, not only against the run, but especially against the pass, you know, the way that he can disrupt the quarterback. So, yeah, the way that they were able to move guys around, obviously Jason Kelce had the highlight block, you know, with the one-arm pancake. You know, there was a lot of stuff like that going on. You know, it's a testament to what the Eagles have done for a long time, you know, building through the trenches. And, you know, that's the type of stuff that shows up in playoff football, and it definitely showed up against the Giants.
How about Hassan Reddick? It seems like every time you look up, this guy's in the other team's backfield. I mean, disrupting everything. How good has he gotten, and how high can he go?
Yeah, when the Eagles signed him last summer, you know, it was like, you look at his stats, and he's among the best edge rushers in the NFL. But I think just the newness of him being at that position, and, you know, just the novelty, you know, he doesn't look like Micah Parsons or Nick Bosa necessarily. You know, he's not one of these guys who was built in a lab to play edge rusher. But, I mean, guy just affects the quarterback. You know, I think some of his production kind of flies in the face of, like, the analytics that I generally do believe in. But, you know, they talk about pressure and, you know, how pressure is more indicative of, you know, productivity as a pass rusher because, you know, it's hard to get sacks and they're kind of fluky. But with Hassan Reddick, I think he's shown that he has a particular skill to get to the quarterback, to finish his pressure, you know, whether it's just getting the quarterback or forcing fumbles, he's proven that he's got more than just like the fluky nature of those things. He, you know, has perfected getting home on those. So, I mean, I think by now he's established himself as one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. You know, the Eagles are happy that he waited maybe one extra year to do that before he hit the free agency market because, yeah, I mean, it's a trademark of all the teams that you see at this point in the playoffs, and it's this way every year. You know, teams who have elite edge rush talent are the ones that are the ones left standing at the end of the season. And Hassan Reddick and Josh Sweat have both fit that bill. You know, I think everyone was a little bit curious that everyone looked at the edge rusher room as a good, you know, group, but maybe not an elite group. But I think the way that Hassan Reddick has played is kind of making them help them take that next step.
Talking to EJ Smith, covers the Eagles for the Inquirer. Jalen Hurts, the stats don't jump off the page, but it just seems like the guy's always in control. His record this season, 15-1 now. Just what makes him so special? Because you can tell the whole team just reacts to the guy so much differently than previous quarterbacks we've seen, and that even includes the playoff version of Nick Foles. This guy just seems like he's different, EJ.
Yeah, the thing that surprised me the most about him this season is the decision-making. You know, we knew he was a great athlete. We knew that he was even making strides as a passer, but I think, you know, we all watched the game last night, you know, with the Cowboys, and like if you watch Dak Prescott and the inconsistency that he plays with, and even Brock Purdy had his up and down moments, I think that's the thing that, you know, Eagles fans shouldn't take that for granted with Jalen Hurts. You know, he is ruthlessly efficient with the football in a way that a lot of quarterbacks aren't. You don't see him make too many mistakes. He's just, you know, very consistent with his decision making. You know, he limits turnovers. He's been doing that all season. And, you know, it's something that doesn't necessarily, you know, show up on the stat sheet as much as, you know, rushing yards or passing yards or completion percentage. It's not necessarily something that, you know, can go viral on Twitter the way that Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes can with deep passes or just plays that guys can't, you know, those guys make plays that other players just can't make. But with Jalen, I think the decision making, the consistency in that decision making, it's kind of one of those things that's like, as you get into these high stakes moments, you know, these games where it really counts, you can count on him a lot more to not make those, you know, catastrophic decisions, you know, limiting turnovers and everything like that. And you see again, like, you know, talk about what makes teams make it to this point in the season. That's a big part of it is quarterbacks who avoid turnovers. As good as Josh Allen was, you know, the turnovers and just the decision making in general kind of ended up being his undoing a little bit. And the same with Dak Prescott, you know, especially last night. So I think the decision-making is something that should not be taken for granted with him. I mean, even as he's dealing with the shoulder injury and maybe is a little impacted by it, you see he still makes the necessary plays. But I think the biggest thing is he's avoiding, you know, the plays that take them out of the game.
What impressed you the most about Kenneth Gainwell's game? I'm sure there's no one who thought he was going to put up 100.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, he picked a good time to have a career day. I think, honestly, with him, like, he has always, you know, people used to complain about him in the red zone. You know, oh, why does he get so many goal line carries? But I've always thought that he has really good vision between the tackles. It's not what he was billed as coming out, you know. When they drafted him, I expected him to be like a Nyheim Hines type slot receiver, running back, you know, kind of hybrid who could, you know, make a lot of plays in the pass game. But honestly, like, I think one of his best, best strengths watching him play week in and week out is, you know, finding crevices through the offensive line and kind of, you know, getting a couple of yards in cases that require vision. So I think his vision was really good again against the Giants. You know, and obviously he had a couple of runs where it was like his burst was impressive. You know, he got up to top speed and, you know, kind of, you know, you want running backs to like break angles. You want linebackers to kind of have to, you know, readjust how they're going to approach a running back. And he made a couple guys do that. So, you know, definitely a good time for him to have, you know, one of those games. And I mean, that's just how the process goes sometimes. You know, you just have a guy who can, you know, kind of come out of nowhere for a big moment or, you know, just have a big game that you may not have expected.
How much credit goes to the coaching staff after this one? I mean, 268 yards rushing, their defense was outstanding, and it seemed like everybody was on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, you know, starting on the defensive side, like we watched the Giants put up a really, really strong offensive performance against the Minnesota Vikings, and the Vikings run a very similar scheme to Jonathan Gannon. You know, it's a lot of quarters coverage, a lot of off coverage, you know, kind of passive defense. And I think Jonathan Gannon deserves credit for, you know, kind of mixing up the looks and trusting his personnel to make the plays instead of, you know, trying to limit explosives at all costs. You know, I think we've seen Gannon make progress in a lot of areas, but yeah, I definitely think that, you know, it was kind of on display against the Giants. Now listen, like the personnel makes it a lot easier when you've got the Darius Slay, James Bradbury, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who can match up against just about anybody. You know, it's a lot easier to trust your personnel, but I still think he deserves credit for doing that. And obviously, you know, even still, like, they have solved problems throughout the year. You know, there were points this season where we talked about, you know, their early down run defense and how it was kind of messing things up for the rest of the defense. And, you know, they've had to figure that stuff out on the fly, and they have done so. And then offensively, I mean, they had a perfect game plan for the Giants. I mean, you don't put up 38 points against, you know, anybody in the playoffs, you know, in a blowout, no less, unless you're just doing everything, you know, you're hitting all the right buttons. And I think that, again, it makes it easier when your offensive line is just mauling people, you know. It's a lot easier when, you know, you're just winning the battle up front the entire game. But, yeah, I mean, they still deserve credit for capitalizing on that.
Well, EJ, continued success to you and this team, because I got a feeling that in a little while you'll be making a trip out west to Arizona. We might see you out there and have you on in person, because this team just, they keep on looking. To me, they just look better than everybody else right now. That's what it looks like to me. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, so I'll be out there either way, but it's a matter of if the Eagles will be following me out there. So,
yes.
But yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I think the Eagles have, you know, at least for this upcoming game, they have shown me too many times, you know, they've answered too many of my questions for me, you know, to think that they're not going to pull this one out. I mean, the 49ers are a really complete team, you know, a lot of talent. And it's not going to be an easy game, but, you know, none of these games aren't supposed to be easy. You know, teams aren't supposed to win 38-7 in the playoffs. So now I think that they have the edge in talent. I think that they have the edge in, you know, a lot of areas. I think that they have some matchups to exploit. So, yeah, I mean, spoiler alert for your loyal listeners who, you know, who follow my work, I'll be picking the Eagles in a couple of days. And, yeah, we'll see who they're playing.
Yeah, absolutely, EJ. Thanks so much, man. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. That was EJ Smith on the Comcast Business Hotline. Covers the Eagles for the Philadelphia Inquirer. 610-632-0975. Alan and Laurent will get you on the other side. Man, does it feel good to have a great football team in town. Meanwhile, the other sports are holding up their end. Sixers holding up their end. Flyers are not embarrassing themselves anymore. After a while, it seemed like they were. Philly soon. Things are good. Temple. Basketball. Aaron McKee gets his biggest win. And the Union are down in Florida already at camp. A lot going on right now. It doesn't get much better than this in Philadelphia sports. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. Time for the final Twitter poll numbers with Connor Thomas.
Thanks, Ty. Our final numbers for our Twitter poll. Again, the question, have you seen enough from the Eagles to be completely confident in the team? Our options, yes, they're the best, or no, still stuff to prove. 82% holding strong, saying yes, they're the best. So we didn't move it too much, but more from last week.
All right. Better than last week, but hopefully we can get up to, 90%. I'll consider just round it to 100.
Okay. We're heading in the right direction, though. It's growth out of this Philadelphia fan base.
It is. The Eagles, like, the chasm in talent between the Eagles and the Giants should have been clear. I don't know why some people out there, 3-6-1, they win one game. They're hot. Like, at some point, we got to just stop people from just saying stuff.
Yeah.
Some people are just saying stuff.
Now, I wonder what 49ers fans are thinking, because right now, I have zero fear in the opponent.
None.
Are they thinking, ooh, it's going to be tough to go out to the East Coast to play in that building? Purdy, a rookie quarterback, not very experienced. Are they having fear? Even if it's 5%. That's 5% more than I do.
I'm going to tell you right now, that team has got to be a little nerve. It's going to be nerve-wracking coming in here, number one. Number two, you have a rookie quarterback who, I mean, there's no way he could be prepared for what's going to hit him on next Sunday.
At the same time, though, they've won 12 straight games. And
they've been good on the road, too.
Yeah, and there's been this narrative all year long that the Eagles really aren't as good as their record says. So I'm just curious, what do the opponents think when they come to play us?
I think that's a well-coached team. They're going to respect the Eagles. If the fans are a reflection of the coach and the players, I think it's. I want to know where the Giants and the Cowboys fans are. They should have the courtesy to apologize. We've been talking to Eagles fans all day.
They're all on vacation. They're all They're all done.
No. Cowboys fans and Giants fans that last week had all this confidence. Where's that guy who said that Daniel Jones was better than Jalen Hurts? He should call in today and just give him my bad. You don't have to grovel. But the least you can do is acknowledge how stupid you were.
It's a bad comment. It's just a bad comment.
It was horrendous. Horrendous. Like, out there, we all get stuff wrong. But this wasn't a situation where this was fluky. All they did was take the matchup when both starters played. And all this, the Eagles adjusted the game plan. And the Giants didn't. Oh, this is their breaking tendencies. Yeah. They went from stinking to sucking. Like, that's all they did. They didn't do anything different. Enough.
And I will say this much. The Niners are coming in here. They have more talent than the Giants did.
I don't think there's any doubt
about that. I still think they're better coached
than
the Giants. There's a big void. When you have a guy that's that young coming into a huge playoff game like this, I cannot see him handling that type of pressure.
It's a big difference playing in your own building as a seventh rounder that's getting thrown into the middle of the action and then coming here at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon for a trip to the Super Bowl. He's going to have no idea what it's like.
And as Ty said, I heard some interviews out of San Francisco last night, and they seem to extremely respect the Eagles.
George Kittle made some statements. Yes.
But it was respectful.
Respectful. That's all. The Cowboys and the Giants, disrespectful. And so let's talk to Trevor at Allentown. You're a 97.5 Fanatic. Hello, Trevor.
Hey, how is everybody doing? I'm so glad to be on this thing. Great to talk to you. I'm as hyped as I can get. I've never seen our family's been watching this thing since the 1960 when they won the whole thing, the whole championship, watching the rabbit ears on TV. You guys might be too young to remember this, but I remember it. And since then, I've seen the good, I've seen the bad, and I've seen the ugly of the uglies. But this is a team I never saw come together like this, with the camaraderie, the leadership of the quarterback, coming together this quick and get this close to the Super Bowl. That kid coming in and that San Francisco team coming in, kudos to them. I mean, they did great. They won a lot of games in the, this year,
yeah,
about 12 in a row or something. And this kid did great. But when he comes in here, I don't think they know what the heck there is going to hit them. I think he's going to take just as many, you know, at the end of the day, I think he'll have just as many sacks as that other howdy-doody baby face from New York that we just slammed in the turf half the time.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked by that at all. This is a real defensive line. Like, at some point, you just got to give them credit. It's now just about, does the quarterback get rid of the ball? Do they make adjustments? Do they run the ball? There's really no, when these guys are on, they just get after you.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been doing it all year long. So thanks for the call, Trevor. Now, we're joined now by, from Inside the Birds, Jeff Mosher. What's going on?
What's up, Ty? How are you guys?
You know, it's hard to be better than we're doing right
now. Yeah, I would think so.
Now, you talked about last week how the Eagles were just better. We were talking about it. There was people concerned. And listen, crazy things can happen in football. But if it was just talent versus talent, you saw what happened. And what we're trying to understand is, I know this is Philadelphia, and there are people who are always kind of negative. But when the team's really good, we have to do a better job not really being afraid of other teams because our team is really good.
Yes.
And this is a really good football team.
Right. Good luck with that, though, because I think the nature of any sports fan is to, when things are going as well as they are, look for whatever reason why it's not going to, especially in our city where it's just, you know, even though we haven't really been used to that many letdowns lately.
Not when the team was really good.
It's always there.
Maybe 30, 40 years ago, but lately when our teams don't win, it's because the team wasn't good enough.
Right.
If Ben Simmons doesn't shoot, the Sixers aren't good enough. It's not we were cursed. It was that this guy decided not to play basketball offense anymore.
Right.
Like he still doesn't do with the Nets. He scored double digits once in the last 10 games.
Right.
That wasn't a curse. That's a flawed player.
Right.
Like
the Astros were just better in the starting rotation. They had Christian Javier. Phillies didn't.
Kind of like, that's what I mean. Like, it, sometimes it's just the other team is better.
Right.
And right now, we're the bullies. The Eagles, they're killing people.
Yeah, look at what the, you're right. Look at what the Astros did, and they beat up on a team that they should. We're the Astros. Right now, we are the Astros.
That's 100% correct.
Not that the 49ers are bad or anything. It's just partially because of the quarterback, because they're afraid to let that quarterback. That Dallas game, there were opportunities, hypothetically, to try to push the ball downfield and take some shots and do some things. They played that close to the vest. Partially, it could have been, okay, well, Dallas isn't doing much. But partially, it's like we got a rookie seventh rounder. We don't fully trust him. I don't know how well that's going to travel.
That's fair. I mean, again, 5 years later, the one player, the most important player standing between the Eagles and the Super Bowl is a backup quarterback. And this time, it's a third stringer.
Right.
One time was Case Keenum.
Right.
Now it's Brock Purdy. Now, I do think this 49ers team is a lot more talented overall than even that Vikings team.
Yes.
I went back and looked, and I had forgotten. Dalvin Cook didn't even play in that game. That was such a great Vikings defense, which was not great that night. But offensively, I mean, Kyle Rudolph, Stephon Diggs was on the team. He wasn't even a 1,000-yard receiver at the point. Their best player was Thielen, good player. But this 49ers team is, well, I mean, they're probably, from a skill position standpoint, equivalents to the Eagles. But to your point, you're the bully. You're the aggressor. Your quarterback could be the MVP of the league.
Right.
Their quarterback is on a great run, but has to come in here and play in an environment that he's not played in before. I don't think they'll be scared. But again, when you're the more talented team, you should feel confident about it.
That's more what it's about. It's not to say if France stinks, because they don't stink, as you mentioned. They don't stink by a long shot. But what we know is that system so far there gets you close. But you need the quarterback, and think about it. Jimmy G wasn't good enough to get them. It got them close, but it couldn't get them over the top. They hope Trey Lance, he gets hurt. I think, unfortunately, with his current system, you still need the quarterback to unlock everything, no matter how smart you think the coach is. And I don't think on the road as a rookie, Brock Purdy's the guy that unlocks this team to get to that next level. Maybe Trey Lance next year, assuming his ankles heal, maybe they get somebody else. But as is, we've seen this is a system built to get you close, but not finish the deal.
Most, did you get a sense yesterday watching that game that at times Kyle Shanahan, whether it's the end of the first half, the weird usage of the clock, having him throw the ball out of bounds 1 second, it got all crazy. But did you have a sense at any point that he was afraid at time to ask Purdy to do certain things?
I think if he's for whatever reason, as brilliant as he is, he does struggle with time management. You know, I think we probably said this about Andy Reid a lot during his era too, right? Yeah. For whatever reason, he struggles with clock management. But part of those decisions might have been relative to the quarterback there and the situation that he was in at the time. But I wouldn't have surprised me if he made some of those decisions, even if he had Tom Brady as his quarterback, because he just is strange. Like, he's just one of those guys who, for whatever reason, he struggles in that department.
And that's what I mean. Like, he needs a player to take the stuff he likes to do mm-hmm. and push it. And I don't think he has that player at the most important position. While we've seen, as good as Steichen's been great, everything on the Eagles has been great, but Jalen Hurts just takes it to another level. Even in that game where his numbers weren't eye-popping, they come blitz. He dodges a guy, he gets the ball out, and right there, if he gets sacked there, maybe it's a big play, maybe the Giants feel good. Instead, jump off, bunch of yards, touchdown. It's just
very fundamentally sound.
There have been games this year for the Eagles where, despite their firepower, you say they won that game because they had Jalen Hurts.
Right.
I'm not going to say that the 49ers win in spite of Brock, because I don't want to take credit away from what he's done. Mm-hmm. But there are very few times in the games I have watched them play where I thought they won that game because Brock Purdy won it for them.
Right.
I think it's a very clearly defined offense. There are defined reads for him. He can hit them when they're there. When they're not, he can get out of a little bit, throw the ball out of bounds. He doesn't turn the ball over much, although he put a few balls in harm's way that
he did.
Didn't hurt him.
Got away with it.
Right,
yeah.
And as you get deeper into the playoffs, that'll happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm not taking credit away from him. His story has been tremendous so far. A lot of guys who are higher pedigree can't do what
he's
done.
So you think it's more systemic.
There's so much talent around him.
No, he's definitely experienced, but he's got weapons around him also, which doesn't hurt the whole situation.
And not only that, but that defense makes it hard, as you saw what they did to the Cowboys. I mean, it makes it hard for them to, like, the opponent to pull away or to get one up on the Niners. And the Niners control the ball as well as the Eagles do. That's why this is a fascinating matchup. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be high scoring.
I don't think so either.
Because they control the both teams will control the ball mm-hmm. on long sustained drives. And it feels like to me, whoever wins the turnover battle in this game, and it might just be as simple as 1-0 or 2-1, like the Eagles Giants game was 2-1, mm-hmm. I think we'll win the game. You steal one possession, you got a really good chance to win this game.
Yeah, and the other part was McCaffrey was not explosive in that game. And he was limping around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And with him, you always have to watch health. I don't know if he's 100% healthy. And I don't know if the machine runs with him, because Dallas is a good defense, but I'm talking about him. He didn't look like he had that great burst.
Right.
Like, coming into the game, it appeared Saquon was going to have the burst back.
Yes.
Did not. He had 139-yard play, and outside of that, he did nothing.
Right.
It doesn't look to me with my eyes that McCaffrey has the same burst going into the game that Saquon looked like he had.
Yeah.
Now, maybe a week later he feels great, but it didn't look like he was able to really had the wiggle and all that stuff to make guys miss. And if he's a straight-ahead guy, I think it puts limits on some of the other stuff they want to do.
Well, it does a little bit. I would say that, obviously, whenever you can turn one play into a big explosive run, that gives you such an advantage. Mm-hmm. The Eagles don't allow that many explosive plays through the air or the ground. Mm-hmm. I kind of think their game plan in general is to be like a more souped-up version of what Washington did when they beat the Eagles, which is get yourself into makeable third downs. I think mm-hmm. they want to run as much as they can up the middle, misdirection, mm-hmm. power, do a lot of that stuff with McCaffrey, with Mitchell. And then when it's third and three, they want to get the ball to McCaffrey in the short pass game, to George Kittle, who has caught 19 consecutive passes on 19 targets against the Eagles in the last two games, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I think the Niners are going to come in knowing they're not going to be throwing the ball up top to Ayuk and Debo, and they're going to try to methodically nickel and dime down the field. So the lack of explosion hurts them, because you saw them in that Seattle game get some big plays from McCaffrey, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's the killer for them.
And he is listed as day-to-day.
Yeah, it's like, he's going to play.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yes, I'm saying, he's going to play.
Yeah, he's been day-to-day for the last 6 years.
But you can just tell it was like, he's not going to win it. What I mean is, he used to be a guy.
He could take over a game himself.
You won the game because of him.
Right.
I don't think that's physically the guy he is at this very moment.
Right. And now he's on a team where this not Carolina, where you needed him to have 200 total yards.
Right.
Was one of those games against Nate Gary, though?
Yes, one of those games was against Nate Gary.
One was, yes. That was the 10 for 10, 15 for 15 game. That's what it was.
I don't think he's going to catch every target in this game. That doesn't mean he won't play well, because he's a great player, but I don't think he's going to catch every target.
Totally different defense.
I don't think he's going
to
catch.
But it has to be the most unbelievable stat I've ever seen in my life, that a guy could have caught 19 straight balls on 19 targets.
Right. Now, I want to get to a guy, a couple people real fast, rapid fire, before we get to the question of the day, because Giants fans were very chesty last week. Now, first, Gary in New Holland, you want to give a little credit to the Eagles?
Yeah, sure.
All right, go right ahead.
I tell you what, you whooped our butt, and as soon as Daniel Jones threw that first interception, I knew it was over.
The ironic part is they didn't even score on that one, off that turnover. It was after that they put up the 21-0.
But what it did was a foot field position. They were able to punt, keep them deep, and the Giants just didn't seem like they had the ability to take long fields. They needed short fields, and they didn't get one.
And then where do you go, 4th and 8?
The punt? It was 4th and 6 when they were down 28-7.
Oh, I think he's talking about the time they went for it.
They went on
4th and 8 and didn't go on 4th and 6 later.
Yeah.
That whole sequence is mind-boggling, because they go first 3rd and 3. Yeah. It's 3rd and 3. If Brian Daboll's mind, he's going for it on 4th down, which I don't know why he's going for
run
it.
Run the ball.
Thank you. You're 3rd and 3. At least try to set up a 4th and 1. You get sacked, and then you get sacked again.
Right.
You're not a good passing team. You're not a good protection team against at right tackle. So why would you do that?
It was very strange. Billy in Princeton last week said that Daniel Jones was better than Jalen Hurts. You want to go ahead and say sorry, Billy?
You cut me off before I finished my thing.
No, you were on for over 2 minutes. You were on for over 2 minutes.
No, you're right. But I was going to say I hurt Jalen Hurts because I thought I didn't know what his physical.
No, you said that, and we tried to tell you if he's suiting up, he was willing to run, which he was, which is enough to keep off balance. Yeah. He was a better player than Daniel Jones. We didn't say he was a better player than a healthy Mahomes. We said Daniel Jones.
You look at your guy, you get carried away, you start to think you got something, and then you go back to Danny Nichols. I understand.
Headlights quarterback look? Good?
I know. He looked like Nichols again. But let me ask you guys, from a Philadelphia perspective, because we're in your division, and you got a lot of time for the 49ers coming up, which I think you guys
Go ahead, Billy, because we got to get to the question of the day.
Real quick, what do you think? What do you think of him? You know, do the Giants, should they sign him if it's over $40 million, or should they let him go?
Sign a big one.
Thanks for the call. I don't think he's a guy that's ever going to win for you. Maybe you can win with him, but I don't think he's going to be the difference maker. Here's the thing: it's misleading. They have $50 million in cap space with no quarterback. So paying a quarterback all of a sudden at $50 million is 18. Depending on how you structure it,
sign him to a long one, baby.
And if they have to franchise tag him, it'll be like. It'll literally be 18, because I think it's like 32 would be the cap number. So
they would be smart to not do the franchise, to sign him to a 3 or 5 year deal.
Yeah.
Put a lot of that new money, but still keep his fifth year, because that would be his fifth year, right?
Yeah, to keep that money.
Yeah, put a little bit, combine it with the fifth year, so that it's still a lot of money.
It's not his fifth year. He's a free agent. It's the end of the field.
Oh, that's right. This was his. They are screwed. Yeah. They are really,
that's what I'm
really
saying. $50 million is super misleading when you have to pay a quarter.
They're going to actually have to try to alleviate more cap space to add some people. Yeah.
Yep. So let's get right to our question of the day. We'll go rapid fire.
This is the question of the day. Let's go to the answering machine.
610-771-9705 is the number. Let's get right to it.
The Eagles against the Giants.
That was easy. That's creative.
Right. I am not surprised that our glorious football team beat those horrible Giants. Go Birds!
Go Birds!
No, I'm not surprised about the beating that the Eagles put down on the Giants. I was more surprised about the article that Ty had in the Inquirer on Saturday about how close the Giants live and born Giants fans. In Bourne Town.
Yeah, I don't care for that one bit. I don't like Giants fans.
No, I predicted it on your show.
All right, you predicted it. All right, well, listen, thanks to Joe Fordyce. Thanks to Dylan. Up next on the radio side, Birds Huddle with Jeff Mosher. We're just talking to him. Inside the Birds, I'm sorry. And on Birds Huddle's on the TV side, we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.